In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today I have with me Father Eric Caden. In 2 days he will be experiencing his first anniversary as a priest of Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking today at the 26th chapter of St. Matthew, and it's 26:26, really. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father." Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus saved the last until best. Yes, he's going to leave with us his body and his blood, for food, for conversion, for healing. Now, Eric has been celebrating the Eucharist for a year. Let's see what input he can give us.
Thank you, Father. It's been quite an experience and quite an encounter and a privilege in this first year to celebrate the Mass, to offer the Mass, and to celebrate the Eucharist, too. Before I was ordained, we had a retreat the week before, and everyone who's ordained has to have a retreat. It's required. And the retreat director was a fairly young priest, and he said that something happened to him on the day of his ordination and the days after that people had always said, you know, because he had no idea what it would be like to celebrate Mass. And that a lot of people said, "Oh, it's so transformative, and it's like that you see the heavens open up, and it's the most wonderful transformative experience." And they all cry and weep every time they celebrate Mass. And he said, "Oh, okay." So he's getting all excited, he said. And then the first time he celebrated Mass, he noticed he didn't feel any of that. He didn't feel this wave of emotion and tears and come over him. But something deeper had happened, where in the seminary he had been practicing how to celebrate Mass, so he'd go down into the little chapel area they had there, and you know, and he would practice the different words, and he'd pick up bread, and he'd say the words, and he'd put bread down, and suddenly he realized this day that he was doing all of the same things, but he picked up bread and put down Jesus, and as he gazed upon this, he realized the incredible faith this takes, that as we pick up bread and pick up wine, we place down our Lord. And it's extraordinarily humbling, because I know, Father, you've talked about this many times, but, you know, as a priest, just as a man, I know all of my own imperfections and weaknesses or struggles or sins, and that the Lord would invite and call and use me and use you to offer this sacrifice of praise, to make present this perfect and infinite sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the perfection and fulfillment of all love, of God's love for us, that he would use me and use you to make that present, and then to give that to the people, has just been so extraordinary. And I've noticed that, like that, the retreat director, every time I celebrate Mass, there's not in I don't see the heavens open and angels ascending and descending and Christ appearing. But I see this bread that I pick up, and I know, as you always say, I know that I know that I know it. I know it more than this table that's sitting in front of us, that this is Jesus.
The Reformers believed this. Luther believed this. You know, they got away from it with Zwingli and John Calvin. And Jesus left us his body and blood. Jesus left us himself until he comes in glory. The scripture says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present, the Lord's death until he comes again. And those who eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily sin against the body of Christ. We need to recognize who it is that we're receiving. This is not just a wafer. I've listened to talk radio, and Bill Sullivan said, well, I had the wafer last night. I wanted to punch him right in the nose, right through the radio. It's not the wafer. It's the Lord. This is Jesus. This is the divine, holy, awesome man who became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. It is not bread, and it is not a meal only. It is the sacrificial experience of the cross, the one cross made present for us. Even in the prayers, they say, you know, we are at your table. I won't use that because I don't believe it's a table. I believe it's an altar. We are at your altar, because where the altar is, there the sacrifice is. The one sacrifice of Calvary, the one sacrifice of Calvary made present for us to receive, to love, and to be healed. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present the death of the Lord until he comes.
Father, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've come to appreciate and understand even more being the priest at the Mass is the difference between the sacrament of the Eucharist, between the sacrifice of the Mass and the reception of Holy Communion. That there's a difference between the two. That what happens at Mass is for everyone. That everyone is invited to be present, to join in, to participate in this infinite and perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That the love, the total surrender of the Son to the Father, which is made present, which is for all of us. When we come to Mass, we join ourselves. That's what the Church has said in full and active participation. We join ourselves. And we come as we are. We come, some, all of us imperfect, some imperfect in more ways than others, but all imperfect, and we come to the perfect. And he invites us, he welcomes us to join him, to join ourselves to him. And that is the sacrament of the Eucharist. That is the sacrifice of the Mass. And then, as something, in a sense, wholly different, we who are in union, who are in friendship, who are in loving communion with our God, receive Him. Receive the fruit, receive Him truly of that sacrament, of that sacrifice. We even use different words for it. We say the sacrifice of the Mass. We say the sacrament of the Eucharist. And then we say the reception of Holy Communion. It's not just semantics. It's not just, oh, these are different expressions for the same thing. In a sense, they are the same thing because it's Jesus. But there's a reason why we use different words. That everyone should come to the altar. Everyone is drawn to the altar. Everyone, Jesus said on the cross, I draw all men, all people to myself. His heart thirsts for everyone to come to his altar, to his cross, to see, to gaze upon, to encounter the infinite love and mercy which is poured out for them. And in that encounter, their heart to be transformed, their heart to be changed, their heart to cry out in sorrow for reconciliation, for that forgiveness and that mercy, that infinite and divine mercy which pours out from his pierced side, from his holy and perfect and sacred heart. When Jesus says, I draw all men to myself, he says, come here to this altar, everyone, and be converted. Encounter the living God who died and loves and raised from the, and rose from the dead for you. Encounter him in his sacrifice for us. And when that happens, when we actually enter into that, we realize that this church, all the things we do, we're not just a bunch of rules. It's not just, oh, do this or do that, oh, well, I can do this every fifth day. No. It's this extraordinary and unbelievable relationship that God is calling us into. And even more than calling us into, is drawing us into. That he's drawing us to his Son on the cross. He's drawing us so that we can be reconciled to him. So that our sins can not just be ignored or overlooked, but can be forgiven. They are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, by that blood which pours forth from the side and the pierced heart of Christ. And as we come, we encounter our God, and we're changed. And we're drawn then to those who aren't Christian, to baptism, to being washed clean of original sin, to die to God and to be reborn as his son or daughter. And for those of us who are Christian, who are imperfect, who have sinned, we are drawn through that encounter to confession, that our heart would be transformed, that we would be reconciled. And then, from baptism and from confession, we are drawn to the altar, and that's when we can say, to the table of the Lord's body and blood. But to get there, we are drawn to the cross, and from the cross to baptism or confession. And it's then, when we are made a lover of God, that we consummate that love by receiving him.
Now, one of the things you said, I remember Mr. Grogan, and we were in the... Grogan. But we were in the Holy Land, and he was not Catholic, and neither was his wife. And I had to tell them that they could participate in the whole experience, but they couldn't receive the Eucharist. And that was very difficult. It was difficult for them and difficult for me. Why is it so that the Eucharist is at Mass is only for the Catholic people? Why is it so? Are we saying we have more than you? What are we saying? Like, what are we saying when we say non-Catholics cannot receive the Eucharist? Why not?
Well, again, it's. I don't like to think about it or look at it. Now, certainly there are. We have rules, I guess you could say, and laws. But it's not a matter of rules and laws. It's a matter of entering into the fullness of this intimate and personal relationship with our God. And it's a matter of recognizing and entering into the truth that He gave us, that He leaves us and remains with us through His church, which, like a mother, turns no one away, but welcomes all people to surrender to our Lord, to die to ourselves, to join into his living body on earth. Not that our Protestant brothers and sisters aren't members of that body, but the Lord has given us himself in this sacrament, not in arbitrary ways. It's just like as the Lord began to reveal himself to the people of Israel all throughout the scriptures. God is not arbitrary. He didn't say, just do whatever you feel like. He said, there's an order and a beauty to my creation, and there's an order and a beauty into how you come to worship me, how you come to give me praise and love. And it's not like a strict, rigid sense, but there's an order to it. There was, as the Jews would come to the temple, it wasn't just every man for himself, but there was an order to how the Lord prepared the people to understand and to receive his Son. And the Lord gives us this extraordinary gift of himself. He gives us this gift of his presence, his sacrifice made present. And for those who are, now not every Catholic understands this, I know that. But he gives us, because he calls us into union with his church, with the Pope, with the bishops, with the priests. Not because we're holier or better, but because it's through that the instrument, through the mediation of the priest that he has made present on the cross. And so, for those who don't accept that, it doesn't make any sense then. I know there's significantly better ways to explain it, but that's not really a good one. So,
the word is communion, and we must first believe that this is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are a body, the word is communion, we must be in communion with Francis, our Pope, and the Archbishops, and what we believe. You see, that's why the second is really what cuts us off, because we cannot say amen to everything that the Catholic Church teaches. And I want you to know that you can receive communion in a spiritual way. That's beautiful, that even if you cannot receive physically the body and blood of Christ, you can ask Jesus to come to you and to make himself present in your body, to make himself present present in your life. When people cannot get to Mass, we should tell them, you can watch television, and when they receive, you can receive spiritually. We never talk about the spiritual reception of the Eucharist. You know, it's always the physical reception of the Eucharist. But the spiritual reception of the Eucharist is very important for people that are homebound, for people that can't get to Mass daily, for people that can't get to the Eucharist, to spiritually receive the body and blood of Christ. That takes faith, that I cannot receive the body and blood of Christ physically, but I ask you, Jesus, to now that you give yourself to me miraculously through my wanting you and through your wanting me, come into my heart with your body, your soul, and your divinity, your whole being. Come into my heart spiritually.
Father, I think you're exactly right as you talk about communion, that it is a matter of communion, that we're not, that we have such a temptation, all of us, I think, myself included, to make ourselves the center of attention, to make ourselves the center of everything. And that as we're drawn into communion, into that friendship with God, into that relationship, into that body of Christ, we recognize that we are not the head, that Jesus is the head. And as he calls us into his body, that we are important and we are essential and we are part of his body, but we are not the head, that Jesus is the head. And so why is it that he has set this up in this way? I don't know. Because he did. Because he is the head, not me. It's not a matter of how I feel or how I think about it or even what I want it to be. It's a matter of what it is, that he gave us his body, he gave us his church so that we could encounter him. And our first response should be one of gratitude to our God. That I don't have to worry about, am I doing this right or wrong? That I in obedience to my God and to his body, I say, yes, I believe. It's not a matter of how I feel or what I want or what I think, but I believe. I say, amen.
You know, unfortunately, the people who sit in the pews, there are many who come to the Eucharist that have no idea who this is. That's just a real thing. They have no idea who they are receiving. They have no idea. And, you know, we need to teach that this is the Lord. We have our children who come once a month before the Blessed Sacrament. They know that Jesus is present in the tabernacle. If that's the only thing we've taught them, they don't come to Mass, most of them, but this Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and he's present as Eucharist, I should say, and that he is here with us and wants to give himself to us. But I remember when I was a young priest at Sacred Heart Church in Quincy, the Gallup poll then said that only 32% of Catholics believed that this was truly the body and blood of Christ. I remember saying that to the bride and groom. They were going to the bride and groom, and they said, "We don't believe that either." I said, "You don't believe that? That's real. I give my life for that. This is Jesus. We don't believe that. It's just a symbol." That's what they said to me. It's just a symbol. This is not symbolic. This is realistic. This is Jesus giving himself to us. You know, and you know, I understand Catholics making fun of people who take the Word of God literally. Well, I tell you, we take the Word of God literally. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. do this in remembrance of me. And remembrance means to make present. It doesn't mean to remember. You know the old song, remember. No, that's not what it is. It's to make present the sacrifice, to make present the great act of God on the cross and in the resurrection. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel the best way that I can. Today, Father Joshi wrote me and said, Father Tom, even when you don't feel like preaching, hundreds and thousands of people are waiting to hear your voice. Well, you know, I don't know if there are that many people, but maybe it's just for you that we spoke today, just for you, and you'd be enough. So I want you to know that we are in need. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128, and also that we're going to have a School of the Holy Spirit between the 14th and the 20th of July. And the telephone number to contact is 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. That's the School of the Holy Spirit. We'll have morning sessions and we'll have evening sessions, and you're welcome to come. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.